To Revelations chapter number 20 and verse number 15. Revelations 20, verse number 15. And it says, there, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to quote it really quick. And then also Romans 10, verse number 13, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we see here there's two separate whosoevers. You know, there's the whosoever in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 15. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And in Romans 10, 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So first off, if you're going to live this Christian life, the first thing you have to do is get your name written down. And to do that, you have to accept the Lord Jesus into your heart. And either way, you're going to be one of those two whosoevers. When your time is up or when the Lord comes back and you get to heaven and you get before Jesus, you're going to be either the whosoever whose name wasn't written down or the whosoever whose name was, and you'll be going into heaven. And that is a very real thing. Hell is a very real thing, and he will cast you into the lake of fire. And you know, and there's verses in the Bible where people say that they serve the Lord and they did these many things for him, and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you know, I've heard stories of people who have preached for years, and they realize, you know, God's finally convicted them enough, and God softened their heart, and they realized they weren't saved, and they came up and got saved. And your name is either going to be written down or it's not, and you need to make sure it's written down. And something that, you know, and for you kids that have grown up in church, or even church members who have been here for years, and you're like, "Well, if I get saved now, what are people going to think of me? You know, are people going to think less of me or whatever?" None of that is worth going to hell for. None of what people think about yourself is worth going to hell for. I struggled with that a long time because I didn't get saved until I was 16 years old, and I've been in church my entire life. And I didn't want to not only harm my own name, but I didn't want to harm my dad's name. You know, he's been a pastor for so many years. My grandfather's been a pastor for so many years, and I'm not even saved. And I said I was, and I didn't want to bring shame on them. But what I didn't, and that was just the devil. You know, I didn't realize that when I did finally accept Jesus. They all said that they were waiting on it. They knew that I hadn't really been saved, and because they could tell by the way I was living, and it didn't bring any shame on their name, and it didn't bring any shame on my name. Finally, accept Jesus, but it's not worth going to hell for all your excuses. You're gonna have many excuses to not get up here and get saved when you know you should, and none of them are worth going to hell for. I knew someone once who said that they weren't even sure. If you know, and they've been brought up in church. It was someone I know. I was talking to him, and he said, "You know, I've been brought up in church my whole life, and the moment I got saved, I was having a battle in my heart, and I was saying, you know, is this even all real? You know, Muslims are brought up their whole life believing in Islam, and you know, and they'll die for that." And he's like, "Maybe this is just like that. Maybe this is some phony thing." And he said that the moment he got saved and accepted Jesus, he said, "You know what? Even if this is all fake, I would rather be and wrong and nothing happen than to not accept Jesus, because it might be false and go to hell for it." And he accepted Jesus, and he's serving God, and I'm thankful for him. And he realized where he was in his life. So my first point is your name has to be written down. For me, when I wanted to go skydiving, I had to write my name down multiple times. Please turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. My second point is that we had to suit up. Ephesians chapter 6 is a very common passage of Scripture, and it talks about the armor of God. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read those verses. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 is where I'll start my reading. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, the second thing we had to do when we went skydiving is we had to suit up. Like I said, we had to put on our jumpsuit, our goggles, we had to get our oxygen mask, we had to get our parachute. We had to do all that. Well, after you get your name written down in heaven, after you accept Jesus and you're going to embark on this journey of being a Christian, and it is a journey, it's not an easy life to walk. We promise a very good and easy eternal life. We promise eternal life in heaven. Or God promises eternal life in heaven and a good eternity. He doesn't promise you a good life. He will promise that he'll be with you by your side your whole life, and that he will get you through the trials and fight your battles with you. And if you're going to do that, you need to suit up for your spiritual warfare. And if you're going to grow as a Christian, if you're going to make it through these trials and come out of it stronger, you need to put on the armor so you can get through it. You know, we could have, they asked us if we wanted the jumpsuit or if we didn't. You know, we could have said no, and we could have went up there when it was freezing cold and jumped out of there and been cold. Or we could have went without the goggles and let all the water rush out of our eyes and not even be able to see everything while we're doing it. And you can choose as a Christian after you get saved, you know what, I'm not gonna live for God. I'm not going to study my Bible and get the sword like I should, or I'm not going to put on the armor like I should, and you're not going to be able to get through these trials. You know, you see people go through trials and they leave church. And you're wondering, you know, why are they leaving church? And if they would stay in church, it would help them get through this trial, and they would, and it would help them understand what they're going through. And you know that when, as soon as the hard times hit, and they're gone, and they're out, and they're back to their living their old ways, that they didn't have on that armor. You know, the devil is constantly coming into your mind and attacking you, and trying to figure out ways to get you out of church, or figure out ways to tempt you for sin, and you're never going to be able to fight the devil back if you don't have armor on, if you don't have the weapons you need or the gear you need to stop him. And to live this Christian life, you know, people try to live the Christian life on their own way too much. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You must have Jesus there with you. That's what he promises you the day you get saved, that he will be with you for your whole life. And it's always very scary, you know, to get up in front of people and to preach, and you know, but I know God will be with me as long as I'm living right, and I'm studying, and I'm trying to figure out what he wants me to preach. He will be with me for every time that I preach, and he will help me. So that's my second point, and that is to suit up. And my third point will be from Mark chapter number 4, and that is once you write your name down, and once you get suited up, and once you get to a certain point in your Christian life, Jesus is going to ask you to jump. Once we got all geared up, once we got in that plane, and once we got up there, you know, there at that point there was no turning back. I was jumping out of that plane. And once you when you live the Christian life and you get your name written down and you may have put the armor on, you may be being able to fight the devil, and you may be able to get through your trials. But it's not, the Christian life is not only that. We are all supposed to be servants for God. We're supposed to be doing things for him. And you might have something in your life that you don't want to get rid of, or something that you're holding on to, and God's going to ask you to make steps of faith for him. He might ask you to give a little extra on the offering plate this time, or he may ask you to stay after church and help clean up, or come early tonight lay out tablecloths. You know, God is always looking for his servants to do things for him. He's going to ask you to do things, or steps of faith. And in Mark chapter number 4, let me find, I think it's in, verse number 36 of Mark chapter number 4, he says, And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it they have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I missed that. I meant to start reading in verse number 35. He says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And then the storm came, and they were scared, and Jesus rebuked the storm, and they made it to the other side." Well, Jesus is going to be asking you to do other things. Like we see here in the end of Mark chapter number 4, he says, let's go to the other side. And then the storms came, and he was asleep, and they had thought that Jesus had left them. And you know, if they would have just kept faithful, and if they would have just waited, you know, the Lord came, and he shut that storm down, and they made it to the other side. Well, when I went to go skydive, I knew that I could not do that jump on my own. I would have never jumped out on that plane on my own, but I had that instructor with me who had done over 6,000 jumps, and he knew what he was doing, and he got me safely to the ground. When Jesus is going to ask you to do something for him, when he says, you know, I want you to give that extra so-and-so amount in the offering, and you're like, Lord, I need that for this or for that, and he says, I want you to give that. And then you're thinking, but how am I going to make it? You know, you cannot outgive God. No matter how much you give, God will give more. You have to have faith, you know, and they had faith that they were going to make it to that other side. And I had faith in that instructor that I was going to make it to the ground. And, you know, trust me, I was doing a lot of praying while I was up there too. I had to have faith in God. I was going to make it to the bottom too. But, you know, when God asked me to be a preacher, I battled him for a while, and I didn't want to do it, but when I finally gave in, I'm thankful for it, because I have faith in God that every single time I step up here that he will help me, and that he will help me get through the storms, whether it be trials or tribulations or whatever. Well, so we see here they made it through the storm, and in Mark chapter number 5, many great things happen in that chapter. They cast the devils out of the man in the tombs, and you see many different miracles here. You see the little girl; she comes back to life. They all thought she had died, and Jesus said that she was sleeping. And we see the woman with the issue of blood; she touches Jesus in that chapter, and she comes healed. And you know, if those disciples never would have tried to. If they would have never went to go through over the sea with Jesus, you know, if they didn't listen, they didn't have faith that they were going to make it across. They would have never got to see what God's actual plan was for them. And you know, and many people say, you know, the Lord, he doesn't care about me. You know, why would he put me through all this in my life? And why would he do this to me? And why this and why that? Well, you don't see the bigger picture. You know, God sees what his overall plan is, and you know what great things may be at the other side of the storm that you're going through. And that being said, in 2017, you might have had, or even past years, you might not have any hope for this new year to be good for you. You might think, this year is going to be just like the rest of my life, and you know, I'm not going to see great things happening because the Lord has done this and the Lord has done that. Well, you can have the best year you've ever had in this upcoming year, and God will help you. But it can't be just God. You also have to put forth the effort too. You know, you can't just say, you know what, God, I'm going to put it in your hands and you're going to help me get through this year. You can say that, but you can't not put any effort forth yourself. You can't just say, Lord, I need you to pay my bills that are coming this month, but I can't work this month because this and because of that. Well, you need to put forth your effort too. And with that, I'm going to share an illustration. Many of you that know me know that I really like basketball. Well, there's a professional basketball player. Well, he was a professional basketball player. He's retired now. He retired, I think, either last year or the year before that. And his name is Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant had a mentality throughout his career. And I saw an interview on this. And that was, his nickname was the Black Mamba while he was in the NBA. Well, his mentality was the Mamba mentality. Well, his mentality was that he wanted every single chance he could to get better. You know, he said, if I could get 1% better every day, then by the end of a certain amount of days, I'll be this percentage better. And, you know, and that really, you know, I don't know how Kobe Bryant, I don't know what kind of man Kobe Bryant is, but that saying right there, when I played basketball, it stuck with me, but I've actually applied that to many different areas of my life. Obviously, I just started a full-time job for the first time. I started in construction. And I didn't know much about actual construction work. You know, I knew about it, but I didn't know how to do the work. You know, when I first started, I wanted to, learn as much as I could and get better and better. And now I know I'm a laborer. I know what the responsibilities of a laborer are now. I've been doing it for a little bit over 6 months, so I know what my job is. But I don't want to stop there. I want to try to figure out, what the guy above me is doing too, so I can start doing his job and so I can get a promotion. And I know you guys know how jobs work, but I'm just saying that you can choose that in your Christian life too. You might be at the point in your Christian life where you are, you have accepted Jesus and you are putting that armor on. Well, I don't want you to just get stuck in where you are. It's easy in the Christian life to just get stuck going in the motions. I want you to try to figure out how you can get that much better and that much better. And that's my resolution in 2018, is to constantly be getting closer to Jesus in 2018. We can always get closer to God. You're never going to be able to reach the max closeness that you can reach. You will always be able to get closer. Every day, I want to try to get 1% or 2% closer to God than I was the day before. And then maybe by the end of this year, I'll be 365% more close than I was. And that sounds crazy, but you can always be closer than you were before. And Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, he said, once you get to a certain point, he said this as himself. He knows, when I was young, I was always focused on trying to get championships and trying to get rings. He said, but in my later years, when I was older and I realized I wasn't as good, I focused on trying to get the younger players around me to be better. And you can also apply that here. In your Christian life, as you get closer to God, and as you get closer to God, and you can see the young ones around you, or other, not necessarily young people, but new and babes in Christ, you can see them and you can get them and help them closer to get to God closer and to help them. And in this coming year, that's going to be my resolution, is to get closer to God with every single day. And I believe everyone can choose that as a resolution, and just like what I said with skydiving, you can put that armor on, and as you get closer and when God calls you to do whatever it is, or when God wants you to do that step of faith, when you keep on trusting Him and getting closer and closer, and He asks you to do bigger and bigger things, when He asks you to do that thing where you don't know what's on the other side of it, when you don't know what could come of it, you're going to be less scared. You're going to be more apt to just say, "Yes, Lord," and do it, because you have trusted Him through the small things. So I'm going to turn to James chapter number 4 to close out my message. James chapter number 4 and verse number 7. We can always be getting closer to God no matter what is going on in our life. Always stay closer to Him, and He will always get you through. And in James chapter number 4 and verse number 7, it says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So what that is saying, and it's very simple. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Who in here wants the devil to stop tempting you, to stop bothering you, to stop bringing trials into your life? All it says here is, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That sounds very simple, but it's a very hard thing to do. Resist the devil. The next verse says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I know everyone in here wants God to draw nigh to them. I know everyone wants God to be closer to them. Well, it's very easy. God wants to be close to you as much as you want to be close to Him. But that's the question. How much do you want to be close to Him? If you want every aspect of your life to be close to God, then every aspect of your life, God will be close to you. If you want, it depends on how much you're going to give to God, is how much God's going to give to you. And God will always outgive you. But you need to give yourself, and you need to trust in Him, and He will help you get through this life. And that's my goal, and that's my challenge for you guys in 2018, is to draw an eye to God and get closer to Him every day. And that's what I have.